1290. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay, your hosts, every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara, at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village. At Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
How are you doing today, Neil?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful day in Santa Barbara again, cloudy and cool, but no snow.
It's Thanksgiving week.
It's Thanksgiving week.
And good times.
Everyone's coming.
And, I know you're going to have a house full of guests.
I did, and I bought a 100-pound turkey.
Wow.
Yes. And
The soup kitchens will be happy once it's over.
The only other problem, I got it a little bit cheaper because it's going to come alive.
Okay, watching you pluck a turkey would be, I would pay to see that.
And it'd be painful for the turkey. That's why it's really a...
Okay, enough of you. We have in studio with us today, Kristen Frazier, who is the owner and founder of the Grape Seed Company. Thank you so much for being here with us, Kristen.
Thanks for having me.
So we always begin with some articles, and this article is from today's Wall Street Journal, and it talks about the fact that finally, in the last day, junk bonds are non-investment grade bonds, which means that they are at the bottom of the barrel in terms of safety, but they have a high yield that is supposed to compensate the investor for the additional risk. Well, over the last few months, one of the only investments that haven't been hit have been junk bonds. And the spread between the yield on junk and the yield on corporate bonds of some rating didn't narrow and didn't widen, which is what you would typically find in a down market. Well, finally, the junk bond market turned down. And on Friday, it went into the red versus the year. And the reason this is important is that it's sort of representative of the fact that, first of all, energy prices have been on the downward swing. A lot of the new junk bond issues have been energy companies because that was the best they could do in terms of, that is, they had to offer to issue bonds at a higher yield in order to attract investors. And in the last couple of weeks, investment-grade companies like General Electric have been hard hit. And one of the interesting phenomenons is that as companies like General Electric sell off, they begin to go into non-investment-grade territory, which means there'll be more quote-unquote junk, which may be too much supply for the people who are interested in taking a risk. And as companies like General Electric lose their credit rating, investors like insurance companies and pension funds who are not allowed to own junk begin to sell, and it puts even more pressure. So anyway, this is just another possible sign. Of course, today the market was down almost 500 points. That's an even better sign.
395.
So the idea here is that it's just a confirmation of what we're seeing in the stock market. You're shaking your head. This is radio.
This is radio. I have to speak.
You have to speak.
No, it's true. Yeah. As the market continues to sell off, you know, you start to wonder, are we, even though all the macroeconomic data is pointing to we are not headed towards a recession, at least not in the next 12 months, you can't help but to wonder, as the stock market is a leading indicator.
And as people begin to shy away from risk, it is again another indication that the market may be weak. People have been willing to take additional risk and buy these bonds, but finally it looks like there's been some weakness. The next article is entitled How Millennials Can Maximize Savings.
You said it right.
It's a tough word for
Proud
me to
of
sound.
You.
The article begins by talking about the fact that people between 25 and 35 have less wealth than people who were either Gen X or baby boomers. And so it really is important for younger people to begin to save as early as possible. So for example,
it's so true. It's so under underutilized, because if you start saving in your 20s, the compounding interest that happens between 20 and 30 is huge, that when you get to 50, you can't make up. You know, by putting away 10% of your income in your 20s, in order to do that, you'd almost have to double that in your later years.
Which is a problem convincing 20-year-olds. I mean, 20-year-olds, some of them still smoke, figuring they're not going to ever get old. And the reality is that the example in this article says that if someone consistently saves 10% of their pay for 40 years, they would be able to maintain the same standard of living when they retire. But if somebody does that for only 30 years, they would have to reduce their spending below that amount, which I think they said they would have to take.
I thought it was they'd have to set aside
20% more to reach their pre-retirement. So it's important to save and to save early. The other thing it says, and I'm not sure we agree with this, but the other thing it says is that you need to create, besides an emergency fund, you should buy disability insurance. And most people who are young, unless they have it from their company, don't buy disability insurance. And
what because it's expensive.
It's expensive. But
if you get it through your company, it's really important to have, as it's your main, you know, fallback plan. But moreover, the emergency reserve is what I think is very important for millennials to start saving 3 to 6 months worth of their living expenses. What that does is it prevents them from getting in trouble with credit cards. And credit card debt, the interest alone can be crippling. And if you have that emergency reserve set aside, you can actually start to borrow from yourself and then rebuild it. That's what it's there for, is so that you don't have to dip into credit card debt.
Well, you know the old joke, the catcher goes up to the pitcher and says, whispers to him, strike him out. You know, this is the old joke, you know, to a young person, save. Well, it's sometimes hard to save when, you know, you have expenses that you're lucky to be able to pay for your rent. So it's
what's interesting, though, is when you are young in your 20s, it's hard to imagine, yes, you're making less money, but you have the most disposable income that you will ever have in your lifetime. You know, once you get married, you have somebody else to work with and work through. Once you have kids, even though your salary may increase, you have less disposable income to do whatever you want with. And really what it's about is starting a habit. So if you have a habit of always saving 10% of your income, it's a habit that you will take with you for the rest of your life.
Is it too late for me to start?
No, you have many years left.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And this article is called The High Financial Price of Our Short Attention Spans. And what the article talks about is the fact that multitasking is not only nerve-wracking and not really productive in so many things, it's particularly unhelpful in making investment decisions. And there is a whole multitude of studies that the article talks about that show that, for example, if you give people, let's say, four numbers to memorize, and they can repeat those four numbers. Give them six numbers, and they have much more difficulty. And when they're asked to remember something that is a little bit more difficult, they tend to lose focus on other things. And so what the article basically explores is what happens when you are doing investment work on a cell phone or on an iPad and tend to work in the mornings, all of the worst possible things, because in the morning you're involved in so many other things. When you are on a cell phone, you can see messages pop up. And what they're saying is that one of the most important things you can do is just stop, make investment decisions slowly, and don't have distractions. And one of the funniest parts of this article, it says people spend more time choosing where they're going to go to dinner than on making investment decisions, which is insane.
Yeah. Part of it is because dinner, they're looking forward to, and it's exciting. Right. And a lot of people find investment decisions to be not as intriguing.
Anyway, most important question for today is where are you going to dinner tonight?
That's the question for you, Neil.
That's right. So we're going to discuss that during the commercial break where we're going to dinner. In the meantime, you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
Hit ignition. And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day,
even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 805-564-1290.
Or you could also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And so we have in studio with us today Kristen Frazier, who is the founder of The Grape Seed Company, which is a organic and eco-friendly skin, hair, bath, and body products. And also, she has recently opened it. Let me get it right so I don't mess it up. Seaside Makers Collectives, both in Santa Barbara and in Carpinteria, which is really huge. Thank you so much for being here with us, Kristen.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's start with a little background about yourself, because I've known Kristen now, gosh, she's like family. I've known
I don't know how long.
Almost 18 years, yeah. Something like that. And so when I met Kristen, she had just gotten back from a trip sailing across the world, and she was a special education teacher in Goleta Unified, right? Mm-hmm. And so take us through what really sparked your imagination, creativity to get the Grape Seed Company started.
Sure. Well, I started Grape Seed Company back in 2004, and it was really a passion project when I started it. I knew I wanted to start a business, but, you know, Santa Barbara's a pretty expensive place to live in, so I needed to have a income at the same time. So I had a master's in education and special education, which is pretty uncommon to have both here in California on the East Coast. And I went to Syracuse University and grew up in Boston, went to grad school in Boston. And there it's pretty common to have both. Education's a little different here. And so when I moved out here and they saw that, they were like, oh, great, we'll hire you and we'll do whatever you want, basically.
Right.
So I started this
business. Which is
nice. Oh, it was awesome. Because for starting a business, one of the hardest things is how do you juggle starting a business and keeping down a day job if you're not going to take funding. And we have never, ever taken outside funding. It is totally a bootstrap business that is built into what it is today. Never even did a friends and family round of funding. So
our president didn't believe in that theory. You know, he used a lot of leverage, but I'm not going to get into that.
I was like, this isn't a political show.
Well, let's not go down that road today. So Goleta was wonderful. I said, hey, you know, I want to start a business and can I go part time? And for 4 years, they let me just basically say how the percentage that I wanted to work. So I went from being a full-time teacher to 80% teaching and just having one weekday where I was focused on Grapeseed Company, and actually launched the business at the Cabrillo Art Show down on Sunday.
Yeah, the art walk.
The art walk that happens every Sunday down by the beach. And within 3 months of launching the business there, there's a lot of people that come up to Santa Barbara as weekend trips from LA, things like that. I was getting spa owners that would come up and say, oh my gosh, this is such an incredible product you're making. Do you wholesale? Yeah. I said yes to everything at that point. I was like, sure, I'll do whatever whatever you want. So as I was building up these accounts and realizing, okay, the next school year's coming up, I can't just have one day a week, I need to go less, I went in and talked to them and said, hey, can I go down to 60%? Can I go down to 40%? And then was finally able to fully quit my day job and take Grapeseed on full time. But Grapeseed really started from the sailing trip that I took, and that was from Boston to the Caribbean. I was gone for 2.5 years and didn't get to regular stores because we were at pretty remote places. So I started learning how to make skincare products on the boat. And I was making them from whatever natural resource we had. And in the Caribbean, it's a lot of coconuts. There's coconuts everywhere. So I was making a lot of coconut-based things.
Who knew is now like the hot dot, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Coconut oil. Cooked with it, skincare, the whole
everything. It's the one thing fixes all.
You're right.
So really realized I had a passion for doing that and studied it on my own and studied aromatherapy on my own and started just making products as gifts for people. I had a lot of friends that were getting married and then having babies, things like that. And I was doing baskets.
You did my favors for wedding and my baby shower.
So built up the business very organically. But the idea of the Grapeseed Company, we make skincare from the byproduct of wine. And I got that idea because when we moved out here, my ex-husband started doing bike tours in wine country. And it was during this time of year, end of harvest season, and all the vintners throw out the grapes. They crush them, they get what they need with the juice, and they throw out the skins and the seeds. And the skins and seeds are what's most concentrated with the resveratrol. And that's a really potent antioxidant and anti-aging ingredient as well. And so I started thinking, this could be a whole concept for a skincare line. It's a natural anti-aging product. There isn't really anything out there. There was no one doing this in the United States at the time. And so I just started with three products. I made a scrub, an oil, and a lip balm, and started selling those down at the beach.
It's what's amazing, too. You're 77, and you look great.
So that's, hey, there's hope for you, Neil.
Well, also, you know, you were a college swimmer in Syracuse, and it must have been freezing to swim in Syracuse.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Joking, but I'm sure they had an indoor pool there.
They did, but getting to practice was freezing. I had to walk across in the snow. I mean, you're from New York. You know what lake effect upstate.
We didn't have lakes in New York City.
Well, yeah, but you know what upstate New York's
like. Yeah, I'm
like.
Joking. Right.
He's gone soft now that he's been out here for so long. So now let's talk through, though. So I think part of what's so amazing is that you kind of made that connection as this was just a byproduct that many of the vintners were just throwing away, that you were able to say, hey, could I have that? And did they even charge you for it?
They still don't charge me for it.
Which is great, you know what I mean? Which is part of making it work.
Exactly. So really, that's what we did. I just walked in, we'd go wine tasting, and back then in 2004, it was before Sideways and all the things that made our wine country blow up. You could walk in and you'd actually meet the winemaker. They would be the person pouring in the tasting room. And I'd just walk in and say, hey, can I take some seeds off your hands? And they'd say, sure, because they pay trash trucks to come in and haul them out. So I was basically doing them a favor.
A favor, right.
That
must make your mom so proud, you know, the whole recycling piece of that.
Well, that's another reason I think the business really blew up. It was back in 2004 before the whole green movement and going organic and all that was really trendy. We were doing it because it was the right thing to do. It was like, wow, we can take a waste product and upcycle it into something pretty amazing that people can use as a consumable good and go from there.
So when you were starting your business, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced?
The biggest challenge was probably just juggling it all because I was holding down the day job for 4 years before I went full time with Grape Seed, even though I had gone down in percentage of time. You know, you go down in percentage of time, you're there teaching, but there's still all that outside work. So it wasn't really 40%. When I was 40%, I was still doing the 100% that you'd be doing if you were a full-time teacher. So just trying to juggle, okay, how do I, you know, make sure I have enough to pay my bills and rent and all that stuff, and also, you know, try to grow Grape Seed at the same time. So it was a lot of just dedication and working around the clock and getting up at 4 a.m. and working before I went into school, things like that, that sometimes I still do as a mom of a 2.5-year-old. You know, that's what I'm juggling now. It's like we're always juggling something. But, you know, everyone has an excuse why, oh, I can't do this now or I can't do this now. You can do whatever you want. You just need to prioritize. And that's a main thing that I've learned over the years of this journey.
Exactly. This thing we call life.
So
now, when you were first starting out, for all those people out there thinking about starting a business, what advice would you give them today? Whether it be a bath and body product business or some other business, what advice would you give?
You have to love and be passionate about what you're doing because there are going to be the highest highs and lowest lows you've ever experienced in anything because there's no one there to back you, basically, especially if you're self-funded. So, you know, you got to make sure what you're doing you really believe in and you're really passionate about. And that comes across for, gosh, it comes so many reasons I got into Whole Foods, things like that, were because of the passion that the buyers saw in me when I was talking about the company. So making sure that you really love what you're doing, that it's not just a great business idea, but that you're in love with the business idea as well.
Sort of the same advice you'd give to someone who was asking about dating.
You know, that's true.
Don't bother unless you really have a passion for it because it could be really difficult.
So let's talk about where you're in, because I think that says a lot. You know, the fact that you're in Whole Foods, how did you make that happen?
So that happened when Whole Foods has changed so much over the course of time we've been doing
business.
Well,
they got bought by Amazon.
Amazon, all that. It's a lot different now. But back then, they had a big push on the local marketing. That was their whole marketing strategy. You'd walk into Whole Foods Market and you'd see the family of farmers that are growing your lettuce. That would be a picture, you know, some sort of marketing material.
Tom Shepard.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a really good time for me to get in because they loved the story. They loved what we were doing. I brought them up to the wineries and showed them how I pick up grape seeds in 55-gallon drums and huge trash cans and bring them back to our facility to use. So they loved seeing the whole story behind what we do, and also the upcycling of it was a big part too.
Right, that big movement towards recycling and
definitely
multi-use things.
So that was pretty lucky that, you know, I had that kind of lifestyle just by how I was raised and also living on the boat for 2 years. You know, you're carrying all your trash, everything with you, so it makes you really think about what you consume, what you're using each day, whether it's water, things like that, because you have a very limited supply of things. So,
and how you can have it multi-use things.
Yes, exactly.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Leite from American Riviera Bank. Life is complicated. We can't help you with carpooling the kids to soccer practice or restoring all your files when your laptop crashes. But when it comes to banking, we can make your life much easier. With cutting-edge technology, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks only dream of, we deliver smart banking for smart people. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people. In Santa Barbara at Figaro and Anacapa and in Montecito's Upper Village.
Are you ready to start and run your own successful business? Ready to grow your small business or home business? Women's Economic Ventures is a local nonprofit helping women start and build successful businesses. In addition to their highly successful self-employment training program, Weave offers services to help women succeed at every stage of their business, from startup and launch to building and sustaining a business, including individual business counseling, professional networking events, advanced business training, and small business loans to start or expand a business. Over 1,000 local businesses are now owned and operated by women who have taken part in programs and services. Whether you're ready to start up, launch, build, or sustain your business, Women's Economic Ventures is right here to help you make it happen. Call 965-6073 or visit weaveonline.org.
Business is great in Santa Barbara, and Santa Barbara is great for business. Steve Cushman, Robbie Ganoff, the lawyer Ortega, and Earl Armstrong with the CEO Report. Santa Barbara's longest-running, locally produced radio program. Wednesday morning at 11 a.m., we rebroadcast the show at 9 p.m., and on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we're streaming live on newspress.com.
Your weekly business radio magazine on KZSB AM 1290.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And if you have any questions for us or our guest, Kristen Frazier of the Grape Seed Company, feel free to give us a call at 564-1290. So, Kristen, you know, it's interesting as we talk about the Grape Seed Company's evolution. What made you actually open a brick-and-mortar store as opposed to going online? That seems to be the push now of that online, you know, Amazon's ruining retail, if you will. What made you make that decision to go in a brick-and-mortar fashion?
We opened the first brick-and-mortar store in 2009, and that actually came out of – well, first I should back up and say we've always been online. 2004, we built the first website and went online there and picked up a lot of spa accounts and things like that. So we always had that presence. The reason I decided to do brick and mortar is because we are a handmade product and we were there making the product every day. And I figured, hey, it's icing on the cake if we can be selling it too. We have staff there. So up until this year, this year has been a huge transition year for us. Up until this year, our facilities have always had a store in the front, manufacturing in the back. And we've had multiple facilities like that, both in Santa Barbara and Carpinteria over the course of the business. This has been the first year that we have completely gone to a warehouse production shipping model and then separated out the retail stores.
Now, what made you do that?
Oh, gosh, a whole bunch of things. But a lot of it came out of the natural disasters that we experienced here in the Santa Barbara and Montecito area last year. It was during, you know, that all happened during the holiday season, which is our biggest sales. We usually do about 4 to 5 times in fourth quarter what we do other quarters of the year. And pretty much any business here, well, any business, whether they made goods or not, but especially businesses that made goods that people buy for presents and things like that, just got hit extremely hard last year with what happened with the fires and then the mudslides and
a lot of the hospitality,
yes,
the restaurants,
exactly,
the you know,
everybody,
gift giving,
no matter,
because no one was in town,
no one was here. We were all evacuated for pretty much all of December, and then the debris flow happened, and we were cut off from our location, so we couldn't actually supply our stores because without going that 5-hour drive around for that. Felt like forever, but whatever.
It was two weeks, maybe.
I don't even remember. It's kind of foggy. But within that time, I realized, like, okay, I'm seeing all my maker and artist friends in town really struggling. Like, and these are incredible, incredible things that they're creating. They have huge followings. We're all really struggling. What can we do to come together to basically, you know, be all in one spot? So that the same type of consumer that's going to buy my goods is going to buy handmade jewelry, things like that. So I put together a group of people that are basically my favorite makers and artists in the Santa Barbara area. And a lot of them are very, very well known here and have great brands, and decided to open Seaside Makers Collective, which is actually a DBA under the Grape Seed Company. And it brings all those artists and makers together in one spot. So we went to the model of a bigger store with more goods in it for everybody. We have baby clothes in there. We have jewelry in there. We have men's goods and gifts. We have art. We have home goods, pillows, blankets, quilts, things like that. It's a little something for everyone. And opened the first store in end of September of 2018 this year. And then just opened the Funk Zone location the first week of November of this year. So it's been a crazy transition to get to that space, but the reception from this community has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, I had my goals of what I wanted the business to be doing right off the bat. Starting a business in September or October like that, that's a retail-based business, not a huge shopping time. That's not a time people are spending money on that kind of stuff. And within the first month, we were doing over three times what I expected we'd be doing sales-wise.
Where did you move your manufacturing facility to?
I actually, the manufacturing facility is still in Carpinteria, and we just moved the storefront. We had a grape seed only store, mm-hmm. and we moved grape seed out of there as far as a storefront, and we're now using that. We have more manufacturing space, more shipping space, which helped as well because we've grown as far as, you know, we're shipping pallets and things like that now. We needed more space in our warehouse. So
for grape seed, would you say what percentage is actually shipped and what percentage is retail purchased for the company?
That's going to be interesting to figure out at the end of this year because it has changed so much with the change in the business model this year. But normally, up until this year, I would say 75% is shipped, whether it's wholesale orders or just online retail orders, versus mm-hmm. about 25% in sales. But it's really been important for us to keep that retail presence, especially with some of the bigger buyers that we've worked with. They love coming into the store, seeing that experience of all the products. We're more of a lifestyle brand at this point. We have over 100 different products that we make. So we have products for the entire family. So for them to come in and be able to say, you know, they might find us because they read about our eye cream or our face serum. But then they come into the store and they see we make men's products and babies products. And
don't forget
Dirty Dog Organics as well as part of grape seed.
You know, I gave Neil that last year for Christmas.
Oh, that was your product?
Yes,
this is
her product. That's one of our products.
Very good.
So what made you come up? You said the whole natural disasters of 2017 and the beginning of 2018 really made you come up with this Seaside Collective idea. Mm-hmm. How did you go about choosing which products you brought in? Yes, they're some of your favorites, but I'm sure there's some criteria.
Yes. So we're dealing with this a lot now because every maker in Santa Barbara is walking into the stores and saying, hey, how do we get into your store?
Right, I'm sure. So let's get it out there.
It's very curated. It's a little something for everyone. We're not going to bring in two jewelers that are similar. We're not going to bring in two leather bag makers that are similar, which we've already had two leather bag makers that want to get in. And we're saying, right. No, we already have a great leather bag maker in there. So,
who does the selling? Do they come in and sell, or they just leave it there and you sell?
No, they leave it there. So we've come up with a model that I'll just give you a little brief overview of, where the people that are making actual tangible goods are actually paying rent. And then... but it's a very small percentage. It's a very small rent as far as getting into a retail space. So it's really something that the other makers are excited about because it's like, yeah, I can afford to pay that rent, whereas they couldn't afford to take over a whole rent for a space on State Street on their own. So the makers are doing rent, and then we do a commission base for any of the artists that are involved, which is pretty common in the art gallery industry that it's commission based and hung over a period of time, things like that.
Now the people who are actually manning the store, are each of the makers required to have somebody man the store for a period of time during the week?
Or? We actually don't require that because I realize that, like, I need to be running my own business. So I have Grape Seed Company, because that owns Seaside Makers, has hired staff that actually does that, that mans the stores.
And I've got to imagine, as the staff manning the store, they need to kind of have a little lesson on all the goods and products. And how many makers are a part of the Seaside Collective?
In Carpinteria, we have 12. And in Santa Barbara, I went away this weekend, and I think we got three more. So I'm not sure what we're up to there.
But roughly, is it about 12?
It's 12 and probably a little bit larger at this point because there's a lot more art display space in the Santa Barbara store.
And are the same 12 in Carpinteria a subset of the 12 in...
The same main makers, yeah. The same people are the core makers that, you know, within seeing what happened in Carpinteria in that first month, they said, sure, if you're crazy enough to open a second store, we want to go in. Yeah.
So here I'm talking to two women who keep saying, man store. It's staffed store, not man store. Aren't you guys feminists?
What are you talking about?
You said
who's manning the store?
Manning the store as opposed to staffing the store.
Good point.
That's a good point.
It's an excellent point, isn't it?
So relevant to our conversation.
Well, it is. I just want to make sure that we're not being, you know, we're not being accused of being,
sexist.
Thanks for looking out.
Yeah. I think you guys need a break. you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
If you have trouble handling your anger, get help. If someone you love is hurting or scaring you, get help. There is a full-service domestic violence agency in Santa Barbara County, which offers emergency shelter, counseling, transitional housing, anger management, and teen outreach programs. Its name is Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County. Call their 24-hour helpline at 964-5245. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, putting an end to domestic violence.
Did you know that domestic violence sends more than 500 women and children to emergency shelters every year? There is a place where all family members affected by domestic violence can get help. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, with four 24-hour phone lines to help. In Santa Barbara, call 964-5245. In Santa Maria, call 925-2160. In Lompoc, call 736-0965. And in Santa Ynez, call 686-4390.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks could only dream about.
And if you're just joining us, we have Kristen Frazier, the owner and founder of the Grape Seed Company, whose newest venture is called Seaside Makers Collective, located both in Carpinteria and Santa Barbara, which is a brick-and-mortar store that houses several artisans in our community. So if you're thinking about, you know, Black Friday is coming up here in just a few days, if you're thinking about shopping, you should go check it out.
Definitely.
So now, given this is a big shift in your business model of having just a retail store and now you have other moving parts in it, mm-hmm. what type of liability are you taking on by having all these different pieces kind of working together? And what different things do you need to think about as a business owner?
Definitely need to think about the contracts that we're writing for people that are taking on the space and making sure that Grape Seed is not going to be held liable if they don't make it, basically. So that's, I was raised by, my father's a lawyer.
I was going to say, good thing you have a good attorney in the family.
And he's been just incredible throughout my entire life with giving me advice with things. But just has really instilled in me, you know, make sure you get certain things in writing, make sure you have things in a contract. So when things do get tough, it isn't personal. You go back to the contract and, hey, this is what we agreed to. This is what it said. It's really outlined black and white. So that was something I really wanted to make sure I had in place as I put this together. And everyone signs the contract of what's expected. And, you know, if they want to get out, it's an easy release to get out. But that is the biggest liability, is that, you know, what if something goes wrong and one of these makers, I don't know.
Do you have trouble finding employees?
Oh, yeah. Everyone in Santa Barbara has trouble finding employees. If you're paying under $20 an hour.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if you think about it, babysitters are making, you know, $20 an hour. I made two growing up.
And retail, you know, retail, like what we pay is considered now sort of high, and we give – I've started with this model, going to a commission base too. So we're doing an hourly plus commission for who we hire, which has really helped. And I think just seeing what's happened in the past 2 months, I was like, gosh, if I calculate this out over a 12-month period, they're making a decent salary. Like for the first time, this is how it's helping Grapeseed too. It's attracting better people to the roles. Position and
right.
roles that, you know, that's another thing that's always tough in this area too, is retention, because you know, the people that are taking those $12 to $18 an hour jobs are usually students or something like that, and the turnover is really high. So I'm really hoping that with this new model that we're going to get people that are going to stay with us for a while as well.
And then if you can provide health insurance, you'll really hit the jackpot.
Yeah, gosh, that's the next step. Yeah. It's just so tough as a small business owner to do all those different things when you're under six employees. So
yeah, that was going to be my next question. How many people do you have staffing because I don't want to say manning, staffed at both locations?
So right now we have two in CARP, and then I'm usually there part of the day on Mondays as well. That's where I was right before coming over here. Mm. And in Santa Barbara, it's a little bit of a different model. Because we opened it so quickly, I went in 50-50 with one of the makers in the collective, and she's actually a part owner in that shop only, and is working 4 days a week in that shop as well.
Oh,
so
that's
that goes back to your question earlier, which I didn't answer properly.
What about
people
in the manufacturing facility?
In manufacturing, we have usually two people at a time working on
manufacturing. Because it's done by hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's done by hand, and we use filling machines as well. So the product's actually made by hand, but as far as getting it into the bottles and the different containers that we package in, we use filling machines for that. So that ups, you know, that helps with the process, with not needing as many people when you're not filling by hand.
Right. And then what about the shipping side of it? How labor intensive is that?
That's pretty labor intensive. And that's even something that I usually step into a lot to help with, is that, you know, if we're doing those big pallet shipments, different partners that we work with have different requirements. So what I do for shipping for the TJ Maxx group is totally different than what I do for shipping for
a local spa
or something like that. So, yeah. So I'm usually the overview of that, as far as, okay, this is – the rules are different for each person you work with, basically. And the bigger companies have their own rules. You can't tell them what your rules are. The smaller companies, you could say, hey, this is how we operate.
Right. The big ones are kind of like, no, this is how we operate.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you look at the vision for the future for the Grapeseed Company, I know you just have gone through this huge transformational process. What do you see?
I see it growing and possibly selling off parts of it. I actually, right after the debris flow, I had someone that was extremely interested in buying the company, and I went through about 2 months of that whole process, which was very educational, and decided it wasn't the time, that I'm still totally in love with what I do. I wasn't really ready to give it up. I wasn't ready to give it up to what they wanted it to become. And you know, kind of sat down with my husband, and he's like, well, what do you really want from this? And I said, well, you know, I want to not be stressed out and like feeling like I'm going to need to be in a million places at once.
Oh, let's be clear. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself if you didn't feel that way.
So he was like, well, you know, you've built so many different things. You could definitely like sell off certain components of it. So that's kind of where I'm going now, is focusing on what I really love to do, and then possibly saying, okay, we're going to sell off this part or this part. That's what I'm looking at right now.
Exciting. So, yeah. You've grown so much. How went from when you opened the first store until now? What have your revenues done?
Oh,
or your sales, however you measure.
Yeah. Well, again, this year is such an anomaly compared to every other year, but we pretty much doubled almost every year.
That's amazing.
Until this year. And this year, we're definitely going to be way down, way, way down. I mean, we lost a $150,000 order that just got canceled because we literally could not deliver it to where it needed to go. So the order got canceled. You know, they're like, hey, you know, we understand there's this natural disaster and stuff, but we need the product in our store. And we have 3,000 stores across the U.S. and Canada to provide your product with. And sorry.
Just out of curiosity, did you get the customer back for next year?
They've reordered since, but not orders that big.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, those are the types of things that, like, with all the devastation that everyone experienced, that kind of stuff wasn't being talked about as much. But that really hurt at Christmas season last year, getting $150,000. You're canceled was like, oh man, that kills you,
right?
Revenue wise.
And how much of your business on the wholesale, including the wholesale side, actually is fourth quarter, you know, relevant as opposed to throughout the course of the year?
Well, we're usually about five times
in fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that are just devastating to the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone still needs to be paid for their work.
Right. And you know, I looking back now, I didn't lay anyone off when all that happened. And a lot of other small businesses in town laid off their whole entire staff. That's how they stayed afloat. I didn't do that. And looking back at it now, it wasn't the best business decision, but
like, it was the right human decision.
The right human decision at the time. We were all going through such a struggle at that time. That was the last thing I wanted to put on anyone else was doing that. It was like, okay, we'll come back somehow.
Does your product have an expiration date? In other words, can you use that order from last year for this year?
That's a really good question. Yeah, we tried to just find other people that we could sell that to. But yes, it does, to answer it. It's 18 months, so yeah, we had to move a lot, and we did a lot of specials like buy one, get one free because we had already manufactured a lot of the stuff. And it was just sitting there, and we couldn't get it to where it needed to go. So,
you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melinda Dunn with the American Academy of Family Physicians with important information on concussions. Concussions can happen to anyone during any physical activity, and you don't have to get hit in the head or lose consciousness to have a concussion. If you suspect a concussion, don't let your child return to the game until they've been medically cleared. With concussions, prevention is key, and safety should always be the first priority. For more on concussions, visit familydoctor.org or talk with your family physician.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And so, Kristen, When you look at Seaside Makers Collective, what are you hoping that accomplishes? What goals when you started it? What did you want to do with that?
Well, I think in CARP, we've already accomplished that. And just being open in 2 months, we've become the go-to gift shop in CARP already.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
So that feels pretty awesome that people come in and we're seeing repeat customers coming in, that it's not just like even within the same week, they'll come in and buy grapeseed stuff one day and then they'll buy Meadow Rose's photo art another day and they'll buy, you know, they're coming there for all their gifting needs. So that's really what we're hoping we can accomplish here as well.
That's great.
By the way, speaking of gifts, you know, when you come on a radio show, it'd be nice to bring the interviewers a free gift. Well, you keep. I wouldn't have brought it up, but you keep mentioning gifts.
How do you know you're not getting a parting gift?
And so you also have exciting news for the Santa Barbara Seaside Collective.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
We are very excited. We're going to be having our grand opening the week after Thanksgiving, a week from Thanksgiving on Thursday, the 29th, I believe. From 4 to 8 p.m. And we're at 209 Anacapa Street, right behind Oriana Winery. We have a parking lot there as well.
The fact you have a parking lot is just...
Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Yeah.
Amazing.
Parking lot in the Funk Zone. When we found that space and that space, many people have been trying to get into it and couldn't because they were only taking artists or ocean-related product.
Oh.
The owners of the building, it's, you know, owners that have... It's been in the family for a while. They really wanted it to be a certain thing. And they had like a dozen people apply for the space and said no to everyone. And then we came in and told them what we were doing. And they were like, yes, this is exactly what we want.
Oh, so, that's wonderful.
So
if somebody out there listening is interested in buying product or they drove by your old store and realized it was closed and were like, oh, no, what happened? Where can they buy Grapeseed Company Bath & Body products?
Well, you can always go to grapeseedco.com, our website, and our full product line is available on there. And then we have Seaside Makers Collective in Santa Barbara at 209 Anacapa Street in the Funk Zone. And the Carpinteria location is at 961 Linden Avenue, right in the middle of downtown. And we have a great outdoor space and patio there where we've been doing pop-ups and bringing other makers in on the weekends. So it's not just the people there paying rent. It's people coming in on the weekends. So every weekend is basically different in that store,
oh,
which is
fine.
Really cool. And it's an event space as well. It's a 550-square-foot patio that we have with a bar and gazebo, and I have all sorts of dreams of what I want to do in that. But
well, you know, I think it's interesting because there are very few businesses that have stores both in Carpinteria and in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. So I think you're really unique and hitting the market. And hopefully the Funk Zone and Linden will be great places for tourists to come and check it out and buy their souvenirs aside from just, you know, the Santa Barbara t-shirt when they come through.
Exactly. That was the whole thing we were going for, is that it's, you know, let's get a real quality product that's made in Santa Barbara that you can go home with.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciated all of your insights. And on the last few moments that we have together, you know, is there any other advice for entrepreneurs out there? Because I know that you love giving it.
Just, again, go after what you love.
Make sure you really love it, because it's not
hard
a
work.
9-to-5 job.
Exactly. It's not a 9-to-5 job at all. You need to, it's like having a child. Grapeseed's my first child. I say that to people a lot. I didn't have my first child until I was 39 and my first actual child, but Grapeseed's my first baby.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for coming. We'd love to have you back, only if you bring us something for free. Thank you all for listening.
You're so subtle, Neil.
Thank you all for listening. My hands are dry. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you next week.
It's 3.